try to build redundancy into these sort of services. I've got my laser pointer out earlier today, and it didn't want to laze too much. So I fiddled with it a little bit and got it to working, and then I figured Brother Jed had one, so we've got one for backup. We're turning in your Bibles tonight. I'd like for you to find Acts chapter 7. If you would find Acts chapter 7. And then, if you'll find Genesis chapter 25. So, Acts chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 25. Just mark your place there in Acts. We'll be going there later, a little later. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your marvelous word. And we pray tonight that you would help us to see something of the wonders of it. And the amazing truth that you've placed in our hands. And we might do it all to bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Couple of weeks ago, it was the first Sunday in April, we talked about these two time periods that we find here in the Bible that are related, both of them related to Israel, Abraham and his seed. And there's a 430-year period and there's a 400-year period. And what we saw is that these two periods are not in conflict with each other. They are in perfect harmony with one another. And so tonight we want to think about these two periods again. And to do that, we want to look at this timeline. Sometimes it's easier to think about these things if you can visualize them a little bit. And so that's the purpose that we have tonight. Now, I'm going to try to review quickly so that we can get on when you got 430 years to cover. You've got to kind of move if you're going to cover them. But if you remember through the genealogies that we find in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11, we're able to arrive at the year of Terah, Abraham's father's birth. And when we study Genesis chapter 12, we find that Abraham was 75 years old when his father died. Terah passed away in 2083. Again, these are years from creation. Years from creation, not B.C. And when Terah dies in the year 2083, Abraham leaves. Terah dies at the age of 205. Abram leaves Haran, where they've been staying. He's 75 years old. And so we're able to determine when you take 205 and you subtract 75, you find that Abram was born in the year 2008. So he comes along and he leaves Haran and he goes into the promised land. This takes place in the year 2083. This is when the 430-year period begins. We looked in Hebrews chapter 11, and we found that Abraham was called, and after he was called, he went out into a country which he should after inherit, and he was a stranger and a sojourner there. This 430-year period is the time of the sojourning of Abraham and his seed. So I didn't write the word sojourn there, but it is that period is characterized by the sojourning of him in the land. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40 tells us that the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So this is characterized by being strangers in the land. Now, I've wrote in here Sarah's, we're able to determine her year of birth. She is either 9 or 10 years younger than Abraham. Now, I say it like that because it depends on how you look at and interpret Genesis chapter 17. Abraham says she's 90. He said, how can a child be born to someone who is 100, but he was 99, we learn in that chapter. He's rounding his age up. You don't round your wife's age up. So if there's 9 years difference between them, and some of the chronologers say there's 10, and that's fine. We aren't going to quibble about that. But she was born in 2017, and I mention her because she's the only woman in the Bible whose age at her death is given. She lived for 127 years, so she dies in the year 2144. So, Abram comes into the land. When he's there for 10 years, he marries Hagar. He marries her in the year 2093, the Egyptian Hagar. And she has a son, Ishmael. He's born in the year 2094. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 16 that Abram is 86 years old when Ishmael is born. So here comes Ishmael along in the year 2094. Now, in the year 2107, Abraham, he has a name change. The Lord changes his name to Abraham. And he changes Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. And in the year 2107, Abraham is circumcised. He's 99 years old. Ishmael is circumcised. He is 13 years old. Now, the next year, the Lord visits Sarah and gives Abraham and Sarah the son that he promised them. And, of course, their disobedience is what led to the birth of the marriage of Hagar to Abraham and the birth of Ishmael. But in the year 2108, when Abraham is 100 years old, Isaac is born. Now, in our last message, the year 2113 was a kind of a star year in our study, because this is when the 400-year period begins. Isaac, as we talked about in that message, is 5 years old when he is weaned. And you remember that the characteristic from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13 of this 400-year period is affliction. It's persecution. And we find that at the age of 5 years old. Ishmael is mocking, persecuting is what the Apostle Paul tells us. He is persecuting Isaac. And this is when Sarah tells Abraham to cast out the bondwoman and her son. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And so this is when this 400-year period of affliction and persecution begins for the seed of Abraham. Now, I'll go ahead and mention this, but we talked about it last time. When you take the 2083 and you add 430 years, you end up at the year 2513 as the Exodus from Egypt. When you take 21:13 and you add 400 years, you end up at exactly the same time. So there's no contradiction between these two periods at all. The 400 years is contained in this 430 years. Now, Isaac, in the year 2148, he's 40 years old. And we read in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 20, if you're there, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. So Isaac is born in the year 2108. In the year 2148, he marries Rebekah. Now, the next point on our line, and this is kind of getting into the new ground that we want to cover tonight. Jacob is born in the year 2168. If you look at verse 26 here of Genesis chapter 25, we read, and of course Esau is born at the same time. They're twins, but our focus is on Jacob. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she, that is Rachel, Rebecca, bears Jacob to Isaac. So we're at the year 2168. Now, the next point on the chart is the death of Abraham. He dies in the year 2183. He was 175 years old when he died. Now, up until this point, things had been pretty straightforward. You can just kind of follow through the scriptures. We have these different ages when people are married. We have their ages when their children are born. And so up until we get to Jacob and we get to point number 7, things are pretty straightforward. But after that, things begin to get interesting. And the Spirit of God has given us all of the information that we need to fill in all of these years. We're going to see that He's given us the information that we need. We're just going to have to dig a little bit for it. I started to say it's a little bit like eating a chicken wing. When I was growing up, the wings, nobody wanted to eat them because they, you know, you worked yourself to death to get a little bit of meat. Well, not now. We've got these giant chickens running around with these giant wings. And it's a whole lot easier to eat them now. It's one of the great things about the American economy. Making a business, a multi-billion dollar business out of chicken wings. It's amazing. But anyway, we're going to have to dig a little bit to get these dates that we're going to talk about here. So I want you to follow along in your Bible. We'll be looking at these verses. Now, we just talked about when Jacob was born. Isaac was born in 2108. He was 60 years old when Jacob is born. And so Jacob is born in the year 2168. Now, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47, Jacob has come to Egypt. And look at what he told Pharaoh in Genesis 47 and verse 9. Well, let's read verse 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. So, Jacob comes to Egypt when he's 130. That is a critical piece of information. Because now, with that information, we can determine Joseph's year of birth, and we can arrive at the dates of events in Joseph's life and Jacob's life. Now, we know that Joseph is sold into Egypt at the age of 17. I won't ask you to turn there, but we talked about that in our message on Joseph in Genesis 37 and verse 2. Now, Joseph is 30 years old when he stands before Pharaoh and becomes the ruler. Look back a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41 and look at verse 46. Now, we know the background of this. Joseph has come out of prison. He's interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh has made him the ruler of the land. Only in the throne, Pharaoh said, will I be greater than you. And so we read in Genesis 41 and verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Now, look at the rest of this verse. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. So Joseph is 30 years old when this 14-year period begins. There's going to be 7 years of plenty. There's going to be 7 years of famine. So he's 30 years old at the start of this 14-year period. When Jacob comes to Egypt at the age of 130, the 7 years of plenty are over. And the first 2 years of famine are complete. So look at Genesis chapter 45. I want you to see these verses as much as time allows. Look at Genesis chapter 45 and verse 6. Joseph says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Now, I want you to think with me. Joseph's age at the start of this 14-year period is 30. The 7 years of plenty are over. So now he's 37 years old. And the 2 years of famine are complete. And so he is 39 years old. 30 plus 7 plus 2. He's 39 years old when Jacob comes to Egypt. Now, if you take 130, that's how old Jacob is, and if you subtract the 39 years, that's how old Joseph is, that means there's 91 years of difference in their ages. So Jacob was 91 years old when Joseph was born. Okay, so now we know when Jacob was born. Jacob was born in the year 2168. He's 91 years old when Joseph is born. So now we're able to determine that Joseph is born in the year 2259. Now we can determine when Jacob stole the birthright. Now we can determine when Isaac and Rebekah sent him away because Esau was going to kill him. When Joseph, look at Genesis chapter 30, if you will. Jacob has gone down to Laban. And look at Genesis chapter 30. and look at verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And notice verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away. Send me away. At that point, Jacob has served Laban for 14 years. 14 years. Look at Genesis chapter 31 and verse 41. Back in Genesis chapter 30, Laban talks Jacob into staying for six more years. And so when we come here to verse 41 of chapter 31, Jacob says to Laban, he's leaving, he's had it. Laban's countenance is not the same toward him as it used to be. And so Jacob says, thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Great father-in-law that Laban was. Now, Jacob is 91 when Joseph is born. When he's born, Jacob has been there for 14 years and he's ready to leave. So if you take Jacob's age at Joseph's birth, 91, and you subtract those 14 years, then you get 77. That's Jacob's age when he fled to, when he stole the blessing and fled to Laban to get away from Esau. That's the year. If you take 2168 and you add 77 to it, you get 2245. Okay? He served him for 20 years. So he ends up staying altogether. He ends up staying there to the year 2265. He's there from 2245 to 2265 when he actually leaves. Now, Jacob dies at the age of 147. Look over at Genesis chapter 47, if you will. Genesis chapter 47. Jacob lived, look at verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Remember, he came when he was 130. He stayed there for 17 years. Now, Joseph, remember, was 39 years old when Jacob came. And so 17 years later, he would be 56. And if you take Jacob's age at his death, which is 147, and you subtract the 56, then you get back to that 91 when Jacob was born. You can get there either way, either of those two ways. But Jacob dies at the age of 147. And so he was born in the year 2168. And he dies 147 years later at the age, or in the year 2315. So we're moving along in our timeline. We're moving along through Jacob. We're moving along. Well, really, we're moving along through Isaac. We're moving along through Jacob. And we're going to move along through Joseph. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Look at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. Now, Joseph was born in the year 2259. He lived 110 years, and so he died in the year 2369. The book of Genesis begins in Adam, with Adam, and it ends with Joseph being buried in a coffin in Egypt. So we come to the end of the book of Genesis. We come to the end of Joseph's life. And now we're going to start thinking about Moses. We're going to start thinking about Moses. Moses' life is divided into three 40-year periods. If you have kept your place at Acts chapter 7, if you'll look over there, Acts chapter 7, and look at verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. This is the first 40 years of Moses' life. He was taken into Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter. He was put in a ark of bulrushes. And Miriam watched to see what would happen. You remember the command was to kill all of the male children. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that his parents saw that he was a proper child. And so they put him in this ark of bulrushes. Miriam is keeping watch. And Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to wash herself. And there's this baby. And she takes that baby. And Miriam comes along and says, "Listen, would you like for one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, absolutely." And so Moses' mother gets to have that part in his life in those early years. So that's, he goes into the castle or the house of Pharaoh, and he's learned for 40 years in all of the wisdom and the knowledge of Egypt. That's the first 40 years of his life. Well, then look at Acts chapter 7, and well, let's read verse 26. Remember, Moses goes out to walk among the Hebrews, and he sees an Egyptian oppressing one of his brethren. And so he kills the Egyptian. And he comes out the next day and he sees these two Hebrews disagreeing over something. And so he decides he's going to mediate this dispute. And one of them says, "Well, are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And so we come there to verse 29. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Now notice verse 30. And when 40 years were expired. So Moses has spent the first 40 years of his life being trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Then he spends the next 40 years of his life on the backside of the desert. Because God has got to get him in a condition to serve. And the wisdom of this world is not going to equip Moses to serve the Lord. And so he takes him to the backside of the desert for 40 years, where he can learn something about humility, and where he can learn that it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by the might of Egypt that the children of Israel are going to be delivered. It's not by Moses' hand and strength. It's going to be by the Lord. And so that's the next 40 years of Moses' life. Now, look back at Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So here are these three 40-year periods in Moses' life. 40 years learning the wisdom of the Egyptians. 40 years on the backside of the desert. 40 years of his life spent in the wilderness leading the children of Israel. Now, that allows us to do something here. We've come to this very important year, the year 2513, the year that the 430 years ends, the year that the 400 years ends, the sojourning ends, the affliction ends. It's the year 2513. Now, Moses was 80 years old when the Exodus takes place. He spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. He spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. And so if you take, he comes in the year 2513. If you subtract 80 years from that, then you get Moses' birth takes place in the year 2433. He flees to the backside of the desert after 40 years in Egypt in the year 2473. And then after 40 years in the desert, he comes to back to Egypt. God uses him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt in the year 2513. And then he leads them for the next 40 years until his death in the year 2553. Now, to a great degree, this has kind of been a rehash of the message from 10 days ago. But I think it's helpful to see it laid out this way. And when we do, we see again the absolute perfection of the Word of God. How all of this fits together. Now, that brings us to this period right here. We don't have time to talk about it tonight. Maybe that will be for another message. But there is 64 years between the death of Joseph and the birth of Moses. It's at the birth of Moses, by the way. It's at the birth of Moses that the enslavement of the children of Israel begins. If you probably don't have your finger back in Acts chapter 7, But in Acts chapter 6, if you do, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17, it says, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, he was going to give him the land, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose which knew not Joseph." That took place in 64 years. In 64 years, there comes a king along who has no idea who Joseph is. We want to talk about that a little bit. Now, this king that comes along, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young to the end they might not live. Notice these next words. In which time Moses was born. And so this enslavement of the people of Israel begins right here in the year 2433. It lasts 80 years until the Lord brings Moses back to Egypt and he leads them out. Now, I mention this because the children of Israel were not enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. I hear preachers from time to time say that. But and they don't mean to say something that's wrong, but that's not an accurate statement. They were only enslaved from here to here, these 80 years. This is when they were evilly entreated. And in the 64 years leading up to that point, Egypt changes. Egypt changed. Something happened in Egypt. And Lord willing, that's what we want to talk about in our next message. This is an amazing book, folks. And it is... You think about how the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Study. Should be a delight for us to study this book. Not just about things like this. But every chapter, every verse, there are so many lessons along the way here. There's a lesson here for young people. When Abraham sends his eldest servant to go out and find a wife for his son Isaac. And Isaac waits for his father to choose his wife. Young people, young ladies, young men, you need to wait for your father, not your human physical father, but your father in heaven to choose and bring to you your wife or your husband. And he'll bring you someone of the household of faith. Abraham said, "I don't want my son marrying any of the daughters of Canaan here. I don't want him marrying lost people, a lost girl." That was the Old Testament equivalent of 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." So there's so many lessons as we look at these years and dates and the people that are involved here. But anyway, we want to talk about this 64-year period next time. As I said last time, I've afflicted you enough, so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're amazed at your word. It's perfect. It's accurate. There are no mistakes in it. And Father, as we read about the year of the Exodus, 25:13, we think about that was the fullness of the time. The fullness of the time came. This 430-year period of sojourning, this 400-year period of affliction, the fullness of the time came. And thinking about this, it's a reminder that when the fullness of the time was come, you're a God of time, precise and perfect time. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We thank you for time in the Bible and how it points us, as all of the scriptures do, to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that these things might be a blessing to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.